B-Pod Studios.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know where this needs to show up?
Pre-game.
Yep. We need this in the pre-game rotation at the stadium.
I'd say bang out, roll to changes, replace it with this.
They've got so many bad songs in that pre-game playlist. Low-energy songs. We don't need low-energy Sunday night. We need energy.
Oh, just get lots of 80,000 white trash. You'd be cranking, saying, yeah, I'm at that wedding with a cash bar. Woo! Hats, yeah.
Play the Applebee song. Play the Applebee song.
Come on, Hardy.
I don't know, he's a little tight.
No, I'm fine. I just replying to the tweet that Joe Scherr sent in. This is the funniest moment in show history. The clip of Zoe.
Doing what?
I just want to put it out there on Twitter and see if you can see it.
What?
Okay. I retweeted it at Hardy985. See if you see it.
Oh, good, the most unintentional funny moment. Oh my god,
what am I doing?
You don't tell him.
I'm not gonna tell him.
So if you're
I'm
on Twitter,
tell him.
I just retweeted this from Joe.
Good catch, Joe. Great catch.
Calls it the funniest moment in show history. It's on the simulcast. So you watch the video.
You didn't do anything wrong, Zoe.
I know.
Something happens that just is perfectly aligned.
Peacock? I don't know. I'll start. I don't want to distract.
Okay. You don't want to be distracted.
You know what? Now, 12:07. No more distractions.
I think you're going to say 12 years later.
Turn up.
Now,
6 years into the thing.
2021. No more of that. We're going to get through the whole thing today, aren't we?
Yep. I don't care what Lyle sings.
Is this creative enough?
Yeah. Why don't you create this? We changed the Thursday song, Creep Boy.
I'm going to just wish Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, both Jimmy Stewart, Big Jim, like Billy Lanny, really.
Think about it, though.
Saving the best for last year. I'm wishing those guys the best.
Good luck.
In the execution of their giveaway of the tickets tomorrow.
Good luck with door three down the hallway there.
Good luck.
How come you didn't get on them? They've had the same show open, same show closed.
Are they creative enough?
Yeah. Good. How are you? I'm Lee Stahounds. Oh, same thing.
Good at you.
How about the morning show? Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. No kidding. Jeez. What's happening tomorrow? Well, hello there, Mr. Will Brinson. I'm like, can you get creative? That's all we got here is creativity. We emit creativity.
We emit creativity.
Like, you see creativity in a dictionary, my picture's next to it. You know? Whew. I did a Reuben in there on the little foil slips that they have, and it was perfect. Opened the bun.
Uh-huh.
Got that toasted first.
Good.
Cheese was melted perfect. Covered this one because I didn't want it to burn. Did it during one of the breaks. That was creative. Timed it perfectly to where it wasn't on broil. I put it on heat. So I was there for a perfect 7-minute segment.
You know what he is? He's a sandwich artist. He's creating in there during the commercial breaks.
We should get Louth
gift certificates to Michael's Arts and Supplies, like that place, so he could go be creative and pass them out to all shows.
There's a lot of different ways to be creative, so.
I know.
I mean, you just described being creative with a toaster oven.
Yep. We put ice in there. I mean, the midday market's not here yet, but it's coming. It takes a while to build
walls.
How's
that going?
Actually, I wanted to talk to you about that today. I think we're going to use the white fridge that's down back that's actually mine.
I have another fridge I could bring in, too.
I'm going to clean it and get it ready.
I got a UMass fridge.
To move it up here to the front of the office.
It's been a lot of talk about the midday market and not a lot of action.
Okay, well, if I move the fridge today, that's a start.
Mm. Okay.
I think it needs to be defrosted, cleaned,
power
set up. I'm not going to power wash it. I'm going to clean it.
Where is it?
It's down back. It's in the office.
How big is it?
It's a mini fridge.
It sits on a what's a mini fridge?
It's a mini fridge.
You're lucky you put six bottles of soda in there.
But it's mine. I bought it.
Had that mini fridge.
I bought it for our office.
Two sodas in it.
When we were in Brighton.
I don't know if that's going to be big enough.
It is. It holds probably 30 cans. Mm,
I like to look through the front door. Because people are going to be opening up and closing.
The one at home.
Look. I need that for something else.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Yeah. Here it is.
Well, trying to get a 24-inch beverage fridge right now that's any good is hard, Hardy. You have one of those in your house. I know. So I need to use that as a temporary one.
What if we brought in a kegerator? I have an extra kegerator.
I don't know what good that's going to do because we're not serving beer.
Post-show, you can drink it.
Yeah, this isn't Mimecast with the beer in the break room.
No, that's where they have young, creative employees.
I saw that at Google. You know, I watched that on Google.
Nap rooms.
In nap rooms.
Swings. Here go sit in the big swing in the atrium on your iPad while you're working.
No offense.
On
what,
your
do you, what do you think the average age?
You want to talk about creativity?
Hold on. Average age of people who work in this building versus average age of the people working at Mimecast.
We are plus 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. I watched a special last night on Google. The head chef
there cooks
20,000 meals
way.
A day. 20,000 meals a day the guy cooks for Google. That is creativity, and he's got to be creative all the time. And you see them.
Well, what's
just
he cooking?
Up,
he cooking salmon, fries?
Burgers, fries. He's got salmon dishes. He's got couscous. He's got sushi. All different raisins.
Where's
foods.
The creativity there?
Because he's got to be different every time. So he said that. He said, I don't want you to come back. We want to make you happy here.
No,
we don't want you to come back at 12 o'clock the next day and say, oh, it's the same burger.
No like offense, my kid's lunch menu changes every day.
Yeah, but it looked good. And I'm like,
chicken patty,
then they had
hamburger,
then they had
hot
wine,
dog, mac and cheese.
They had a soda bar, wine bar. Here? They had a bar. Like, they give them liquor. Why wouldn't they give that to us here? Maybe the new place with the new kitchen, cafeteria.
Yeah, that radio's never had a shortage of liquor. Yeah. There's plenty of liquor in the building now if you wanted to start drinking.
Yeah.
It's frowned upon, but it's here.
They'll turn their head.
No.
Sideways.
And cough. There you go. Finish the joke, would you? Chuck in Ohio. Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Chuck.
How you guys doing?
Nah.
You sound like my old agent, Chuck.
Okay. I just wanted to
Ralph?
Talk about, you know, that everybody's making it sound like...
Brad.
You know, Brady's going to get all this pressure and by the Patriots and knock his head off and all that stuff. I mean, Tampa's got a really, really good offensive line. I mean, really good. The only guy's even penetrated is Aaron Donald, and I don't see any Aaron Donalds on the Patriot front seven. And number two, why don't you see Brady take a shot anyway? He's the best at turtling. You know what I mean? You know he's going to clean shot. I mean, he's not going to allow himself to be exposed. I think he can penetrate. I'm sorry. I just think on every single...
Chuck, I don't think you're wrong. And just, it's my hope. It's not based on I think they can actually do it. I hope they find a way. I hope they scheme it up. I hope they provide a bunch of different looks up front to get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
Provide some of that confusion that seems to apply to the Patriots offensive line so many times. And you're dropping a linebacker in the middle and you're having one of your guys off the edge rush or vice versa. You've got to do something. You got to get creative. Is Matt Patricia being in the fold prevent that creativeness? Speaking
of
being creative.
I think that would help.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. They need to be a little bit more Brian Flores, a little less Matt Patricia. You got to have a desire to get after the quarterback first and foremost.
Yeah.
Which sometimes the Patriots don't believe that's their best course of action. It's not always best to get after the quarterback. Sometimes you like to hold the quarterback in the pocket and force him to make throws. I think this weekend you should want to get to the quarterback. Get home. There were times last week, though, that I wondered if they wanted to get home on Jameis Winston. Or if they wanted him to just be uncomfortable and make throws. Because I felt they had good pressure. I felt that they did a decent job penetrating, and I thought Jameis Winston got out of a few potential sacks.
I thought they had several times to knock the ball out from him. Like, where you're coming down on him, and it's not from the front side. It was all backside stuff. And I'm like, just one violent swipe over the top to knock that ball out of the right hand. Because Jameis' head was upfield. He did a good job keeping his head upfield, not staring at the rush. But he did slip out of it a couple times. He should have had two or three sacks.
We'll talk to Bruce Arena coming up at 12:50 this hour. More of your calls and Brady stuff next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So yesterday, James White, it was reported, done for the year after suffering a hip injury last week. That's obviously a significant loss for the Patriots, but I'm not entirely surprised in reading that. Hip injuries can be bad.
Yeah, I thought he was done for the year. Talked to somebody close to the situation, said it was not good. They feared the worst. With his age, contract status and everything, that's just, one-year deal he signed back. It's a tough break for him. Tough break because you could really tell that he was going to be a big part of this offense. And there was the talk that something dropped off last year. He had a tough year personally. And they just weren't good offensively, which, when you simplify things, sort of takes him out of the things that makes the offense tick. And it was sort of getting back to being who they used to be, especially with him in there, as the third down back. Again, screen game, massive loss.
Right, over the
blitz
first
protection, massive loss. Massive.
Over the first two games, he led the team in receiving. He's catching more balls than anyone.
Yeah.
And James White, since 2015, don't know if you know this, where he is in the NFL. Since 2015, he has more receptions, more receiving yards, and more touchdowns than any other running back in the NFL. Crazy.
That is
376 catches, 3,200 yards receiving, 25 touchdowns catching the football. He's more than just a running back. We knew this was going to be a loss for a period of time, but the fact that he's not coming back, the Patriots are probably going to spend some time and effort on figuring out how they replace that production.
Well, think about it too. So you get your huddle, your offensive huddle. Mac Jones gets on one end, kneels down, and you look to that left side, that back end where all the skill people are. So you got Aguilar. You've got Bourne, Hunter Henry, Jonas Smith. Probably have Damian Harris in there to start, right? So there's your normal personnel. Oh, yeah, then throw Myers in there. Any of those guys good, solid, hardcore veterans that have been through it all and win, and know how to win? None of them. You're kind of like out there by your all lonesome self now. So somebody's got to step up and become that big leader in that back end. I at least know you got David Andrews and Shaq Mason up front. Trent Brown's been through the ringer. Those guys have been through it.
Last year at Oklahoma, Ramondre Stevenson had 18 catches for 211 yards. That, of course, was in a shortened COVID season. So those 18 catches and 211 yards came over the course of six games. The year before that, he caught 10 passes for 87 yards. He also has shown a real inability to block in his limited playing time so far this season in the opener against Miami.
Tough spot.
They put a lot of faith in this kid at the start of the year when they traded away Sony Michel. He made some mistakes early, and they have now since, between the fumble and the inability to block, they have buried him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a tweener. Like, you want J.J. Taylor to sort of take over that role, but you also understand how small he is and how much of a liability that could be in blitz protection. So you're kind of caught in a tweener there because you got Stevenson's who's a little bit of a thumper, but he's young and raw, and he's not going to, you know, totally mentally be into it every single time. You know, he's going to blow some calls. I mean, sad to say it, buddy. It feels like Brandon Bolden, you know, big plays, big third down plays, is going to be in there to help you because they're going to go with the trust. I don't think they can trust those other two yet. Those two have to prove that you can trust them in those situations to play. You got to earn those reps. And by default, Bolden will be put in there. You go by with what you have. That's all you have.
Not easy. Not easy to deal with. Dylan's in Boston. Wanted to talk about James White. Hey, Dylan.
Not Dylan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Really unfortunate about James White, man. Hate to hear that as a physical therapist. I understand how limiting hip injuries are. But a quick two-parter. Do you think Damian Harris is going to have to step up at all for passing downs? Or are they finally going to bring in more of that Stevenson guy, even though he kind of sucks at the blocking, as you guys were saying? And how is this going to limit Mac Jones as far as, you know, passing options, play action, all that stuff, and just him as a passer in general?
Well, I mean, the loss of that won't hamper Mac from that. Mac's going to be Mac. What it will change is, you know, front side, back side, where's strength? What's Josh McDaniels going to do? He's going to motion somebody into the backfield to help. You try a multitude of things, quicker throws off quick play action. So we'll see.
Let's go to John, who's in Watertown today. Frizzell, what do you got, John?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to do a lot of screens, too. I mean, Zoe, who do you think's going to match up? I mean, pick your poison. If their best bet is man-to-man, you got Evans, Brown, Godwin, you know. I mean, how do you stop that? And Fournette's not as stiff either, and Jones,
no.
If you want to.
No, what running back have they shut down yet? Yeah, none.
Exactly. I think they're going to get a heavy dose of that, the run, and then.
Yep. I take J.C. Jackson and I put him on Mike Evans. He's the guy he's going to have to shadow. Whether you like it or not, whether he's going to get it from Evans. See, I think he's got a chance to get Evans. Evans to me is a guy I think you can take out of games if you're physical with him or you frustrate him. Godwin to me is more of a fighter. Like, if you ask me, which receiver would you rather have on your team? I'd rather have Chris Godwin. He looks like he battles. I see Mike Evans piled. I've seen Mike Evans take plays off. I see Mike Evans slip and look down at his shoes. You're 6'5", you're running like crazy. You know you have to control your feet quicker. You know, you have to stop, but just out of control. I don't know if Mike Evans does all the little things well. Problem is, then you got to worry about Antonio Brown. Then you got to worry about this kid Johnson all of a sudden they're throwing the ball to. And then they're tight ends. And they got running backs they could throw to. So,
Chris in Hartford, what do you got today on Seth Wickersham's book?
Well, first off, we got to hammer Kraft a little more. I'm not hearing that on the radio. You know, the buck stops here. I don't care about it. This crying. You know, he's the guy that writes the checks. But, you know, Hardy, great job bringing up Gronk. And now we're going to bring AB into the fold. Oh, I think they've got some steam behind them to put out a performance, I'm pretty sure. But when it comes to Kraft, he knows that Brady, and Brady's being a little fraudulent on this, he wants to play with guys that he likes too, just like Belichick. And that's what Brady did when he brought guys down to Tampa. I want you guys to talk about Kraft and Hardy. Those teeth look great. Your dentist did a great job. Have a great day.
Must be friends with my dentist.
I was going to say, how would he have known you were at the dentist?
Somebody who's friends with Dr. Thomas, apparently. That's just a guess.
I think you said it the other day.
Is he a tall lad?
I had said it. I had been at the dentist. It was me.
Dr. Thomas is a woman. So,
What's the world coming to, huh? A lady dentist? Lady doctor?
I had a toothache the first time I got up here, like in 1991, and it hurt so bad. And I needed a root canal, and nobody could take me. And there was this one dentist in Foxborough that took me. His name was Bill Lankitis, and he had hands of a gorilla. The corners of my mouth split.
Can you tell everyone who Bill Lankitis is?
Bill Lankitis is a former center that played for the Patriots, became a dentist.
Is he still in practice?
He is not. He has passed. God bless his soul. Passed away. Had great hair. Great hair.
He died in 2016. Wow. That's,
you know what it is, though? And it's like I'd be willing to bet.
Years ago,
he couldn't get his hands in my mouth.
So this was what, like your first week in Foxborough?
First week. And I'm like, I'm hurting. I got it. And then somebody at the team said, hey, this guy used to play here, Bill Enkaitis. He's a Dennis Column. And it was a mile from the stadium.
So you know, you want to know why? I bet. And this happens to a lot of people. Stress. And that stress will find the weakest part of your body and like just center all that in that one spot. And it oftentimes comes out as a toothache.
Huh. Check my tweeter right there. If you don't mind my right? Old tweeter page. I just sent something out for you. So
okay, thanks, buddy.
It's going to horrify him.
POV?
It might make him it is a POV. Those are those hands.
Look at his hands.
I was, it was like having Lurch operating. That is, it was like a bad dream.
That is a real image of Dr. Lankitis.
Look at him. He's got that look.
Ready to put, as you said, his gorilla hands into your mouth.
His hair's not real.
So you would prefer a dentist with real skinny fingers?
Another friend of mine who is a dentist.
But how often do the fingers go into the mouth?
Well, here's the problem. Do you know when he puts that clamp?
Using a drill. It's not. No, it's like they're positioning themselves.
But they have to put that circular clamp around the tooth.
I think there's all kinds of stuff that goes on in there. A friend of mine who is a dentist, who is a very good dentist,
he
said,
give me tooth pain right now.
Some of the best dentists he knows are women. He said it has to do with the size of their hands and the dexterity. I mean, think about it. You know, some very, very like intricate like jobs that require like very delicate and very precise
dainty little hands.
Mm-hmm. Women that they have sometimes a physical advantage in things like that.
It makes
women
sense.
Make great dentists. Another friend of mine is an endodontist who is a woman, and I wonder if she would say the same thing. I haven't been to her, haven't needed to, thank goodness. But again, it's a particular advantage that I think a lot of women have in that field.
There's this one dentist I went to in Pittsburgh. He had great smelling hands. Hands smell great every time. Like it was like a cologne.
I hate those dentists whose hands just smell like fish or and cigars feet. Right. And feet.
No,
yeah,
but like he scrubbed
dentists.
His hands, but he had like this perfumed soap. It's not. It wasn't just like sterile soap. It was like, oh, it's delightful. Mm.
Is that lavender? Mm.
Can you put those in my mouth? Yeah.
Hardy has the headlines. We're talking about the Revs coming up at 12:50 with Bruce Arena. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six 1 7 7 7 9 0 98 5. Rob Gronkowski not at practice for the Bucs today in Tampa. Tom Brady's going to speak live at 1:00. We're going to carry that when he does from Tampa Bay.
What do you think? I would be shocked if Gronk doesn't play in this game.
Okay.
I don't think it's trending well for him.
Okay. All right then. Paul Perillo.
That would help,
earlier.
Right? That would help.
Yeah, but like you had said a few minutes ago, you said, well, it's not like they don't have other guys that can play.
Right.
It's one less guy you know how to defend.
Paul Perillo tweeted an hour ago. Looking like no Gronk return for the weekend, he was retweeting Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucks, and had reported that Rob Gronkowski, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Gio Bernard were all missing from practice today. Antonio Brown back out there. His 10 days are up on COVID, so he's back, and he will be playing this weekend. Now, if Rob Gronkowski could pick – I'm sorry, if Tom Brady could pick between having Rob Gronkowski available or Antonio Brown available for this game, which one would he pick?
If it's any game –
No, this game specifically.
Okay. If it's any game,
I think it's
Antonio Brown. For this game, I think it's Rob Gronkowski.
Interesting.
I think he'd rather have AB for this game.
I think he wants to throw a million. He wants to throw for a million yards AB, in this game and shred him.
AB is going to.
AB can help him.
AB will shred whoever covers him because it's not going to be JC.
But if you want someone else who's going to be out there who can match your emotional desire to get a win, it's Gronkowski, not
that.
AB.
And he would also like the matchup of Gronk on these safeties. But you get it 15 yards to Gronk, or you get it 45 to AB.
45 to AB.
Yeah, in a cloud of dust. Oh, man, would that suck if he caught two touchdowns?
Yeah, it would. It very much would. Susan in Winthrop has a game plan for Sunday for the Patriots. How to beat Tom Brady. Susan.
Yes, how you doing, guys?
Good. Yes.
All right, so here's my plan. I think that what they should do is have the mentality of when the Patriots were playing the Giants in the first Super Bowl that we lost, they put tons of pressure on Brady, couldn't do anything. So I think that's a really good idea to really have in mind, to just put all the pressure on him where he can't throw. We'll sack him. We'll get him from all sides.
And the big thing about that one, Susan, is Steve Spagnuolo said at the time, we realized we had to get pressure up the middle on Brady. We couldn't come off the edge. Coming off the edge is great, but when you put the pressure up the middle, Brady felt like he had nowhere to go. And that's when you got him to make mistakes, or better, you got to the quarterback. Pressure up the middle.
That's how you beat him.
Brady has done a better job late in his career moving around the pocket, which is just
great. But his knee looks fresh.
It does.
He looks a lot better moving within the pocket these first three games that he did last year. That left leg was stiff, just planted.
You played with Dan Marino for a time.
Yeah.
How good was he at moving in the pocket?
Oh, great. Couldn't walk up and down stairs, but man, could he slide in the
pocket. But isn't that unbelievable how he didn't have to move a lot?
Montana was the same way.
He could take half a step one way, and he had guys flying by him. I always marveled at his ability to move.
Great feet.
Marino just like, yeah, just knew where to put that front foot.
His shoes
were guys going in a different direction.
His shoes were like boxing shoes.
The big white.
He had the highest high white tops I've ever seen. Like, they were Nike white tops, but I think they were customized for him to go above the Achilles injury to keep things tight for him.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it almost looked like a fighter's boot. You know?
Yeah.
God, he could throw. Good old days.
How's he doing? Talk to him at all?
I saw him at the game the other day.
How's he doing?
Looks okay. He's not on the Nutrisystem.
Now, that's a shot.
No,
that's a shot. You just called him fat.
No,
he did.
He's doing well. He's doing well.
Dan Marino fat.
No, I didn't. He's doing well.
That really, it's really rude.
He's doing well.
Guy who you looked up to for a long time. Look up to still him. Do. Yeah. You love that guy.
Like, what's up, PA? It's like, so when you go back? I ain't going back. I ain't going back either. Yeah. Good. I tried to grow my hair like him.
How'd that work out for you?
Pretty good. I grew the mullet and I had my grandmother. She spiral permed the back of my hair. Because Dan had those long, curly locks. He just put the baseball hat on backwards, and he had to rip shirts and all that. I want to be Marino. Who didn't want to be Marino coming out of Pittsburgh?
Greg in Auburn. Hi, Greg.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So I was thinking, when you guys were talking about nuances and ways maybe Brady could try to rile people up, what do you think the reaction would be if the cameras catch him getting off the bus, walking down that tunnel, he's dressed to the nines, and he's wearing his Bucks Super Bowl ring?
No chance.
No chance of that happening.
Yeah. Would be something, though.
I don't think Brady has a problem with the Patriots. I think Brady's got a problem with Bill.
Yep. people are like ripping him for like, this is the best ring ever. And he just said that every ring he's gotten as it kept going. He said that with the sixth one. He said it with the fifth one, the fourth.
So I have a question about the pregame video that I expect to see. He will get a huge round of applause.
Yes.
Will he acknowledge it?
Yes.
I hope he does.
Yeah, you have to.
And I hope everyone gives him the, and I'm sure he will get the applause that he deserves. It'd be nice if he acknowledged it. It would.
Yeah.
And then I want him to go into the game and get absolutely killed by the Patriots front seven. That's when things will then change.
Will he get a pregame video and a stoppage of play when he breaks the record?
I don't know. I don't know what this whole stoppage of play is going to involve.
That's kind of a league thing, I think.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the Breeze one was a big deal.
And that happened at home, too, and I think it went over the top.
I just want the crowd to react appropriately if the Patriots defense can get to Brady. But it feels like we're getting a real Brady crowd with the number of tickets that are available. All the season ticket holders are bailing on this game. They're bailing. It's too bad. Could use the noise. Could use the noise on third downs on Sunday night.
It's going to look like a Yankees game.
Instead of all these people sitting there with Brady jerseys cheering.
Would it be
for
better
him?
If it was 4:30?
Yeah. Yes, it would. Yeah. I think the Sunday night factor. Season ticket holders.
People got to work Monday. So like, over the Sunday night game. Thing. I'll sell it, make some money on it. I don't want to be tired the next day and all that.
It is. It's if you work, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know? To be at the stadium for an 8:30 start on a Sunday night.
Do you miss the postgame?
And get me? Not even a
little
bit.
You don't miss
that
3-hour postgame?
Not even a tiny, tiny bit. Bruce Arena is going to be with us. He'll join us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds. I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution, the record-breaking Revs at this point. It's Bruce Arena with us. Hi, Bruce.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Congrats on another win last night. I mean, club records, that's old hat. Now we're talking about league records that are getting ready to fall with the way you guys are playing right now.
Yes, we're on a good run right now. Hopefully we can maintain that in the month of October.
Good. No, I want to talk about a couple of the goals last night. The first goal, I mean, early on in the match, which I know you love to see, but it's that second and third effort that DeJuan Jones showed, who I like him as a player to begin with, but it's nice to see that even in a match where you guys have so clearly out in front in so many ways this season, but to see that effort put forth there to finish that and get on the board first last night.
Yeah, it was great stuff, and the play was generated from a cross by Brandon Bye on the right side, which was another one of our outside backs. So our first goal was created by our outside backs as well, which is some terrific stuff. That means we're playing with a lot of confidence.
Wasn't the second goal started from Bye, too, that I think it went to Bo, and then the book's a header, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, so those are all encouraging signs for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, and you mentioned the month of July. I mean, going all the way back to the beginning there, you got 41 of 48 possible points there. Did you ever think this team would get to 20 wins as quickly as they have?
No, I still don't believe it, to be honest with you. But give the guys a lot of credit. They're doing well.
Bruce, you have turned around multiple teams. And in your second year in previous stops, whether it was D.C. or L.A., turned teams around, won Coach of the Year. This is now your second full season with the Revs. What is it about you as a coach that's able to come in and maybe get a team going in a different direction and have the success that the team is having right now?
Well, I obviously understand the league and know how to put a team together in this league. And I think I've inherited a fairly decent base of players, and we've supplemented them with some good players, and notably, Bowen Books, Polster, Farrell, and was switched to a position where he's playing well. Turner developed. Our goalkeeper coach has done a great job with Turner. He's developed. We've worked hard with Bai and Jones to make them outside backs. Henry Kessler we drafted last year. So we put some pieces around some of the solid players we inherited here, and they've developed into a real good team. And this is, as you mentioned, it's our second full year together. So we understand each other a lot better, and the young players have grown in a real impressive fashion. So, we're headed in the right direction.
Bruce, you've famously on this show taken credit for all good things with the Revolution and distanced exactly. yourself from the mistakes, which I think is the right thing to do. I want to, and I think there's
I do that in everyday life as well. I might add,
I think it's a great life lesson, and I want to hear you because I think you can actually take credit for the own goal last night. I saw something there, coaching wise, that even though Camacho put the goal in himself on his own goal for Montreal, I think you can take some credit for the way that play developed.
Well, we actually emphasize that a lot. We always say that if you position defenders to be facing their own goal, they've got to make perfect plays. If they make mistakes, it could end up in the back of the net. But, give our guys credit. They're playing very well, and, it's encouraging to see the progress we're making.
No, but you did it a little bit, and I'm happy. You took some credit for the own goal. Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
When you're playing this well, does the layoff that's coming, does that bug you? And I know you got to deal with it, but, you're not going to play for 17.
I don't think so, because right now we're pretty tired. And then in October, we're going to have a really rough stretch where I think we play 4 games in 11 days. We play in the road in D.C., then go on the road to Orlando and come back real quick and play Colorado. So that's going to be really tough. So over the next couple of weeks, we can get a little healthier. We can get the guys a little bit sharper and hopefully be ready to go on October 16th when we play Chicago at home.
Yeah, it's 5, I think, in 15 days is what it is between the 16th of October and then Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then we have 10 days off for our last game. So there's a lot of crazy stuff ahead, so we've got to be prepared the right way, and I think a little bit of a break is going to do us good.
You say tired. Is there a sort of a health element to that too, where guys are sort of bumped and bruised at this point in the season and could use the recovery period?
A little of that, but we're just generally fatigued. In our sport, you put an awful lot in each and every game, and when you play multiple games in a week, it really wears you down over time. So stepping away from it for a while, I think it's going to help our players.
With all the cardio that, you guys put into it, during this break, if you need the three of us to come down, we can only go half field. I wouldn't want to go whole field, but if you need us to come down and help work the team out, we're more open to it than ever.
That would be great. And we'll get a couple of beers for you guys.
We'll put Beetle in goal.
Yeah. Good. We won't score past him.
Oh, that sounds like a shot. Coach, yeah,
not at all. I'm complimenting his athleticism.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pick one side and go. He can't just like middle it.
Nimble, yes. Nimble is the backhanded compliment. But you say fatigue, Bruce. They looked loose last night. I don't know if you felt that way for the whole game, but it's like even on Bo's goal at the end there, when he took and finished it on his own. I mean, they seem to be playing very relaxed. Maybe that's the fatigue that I'm seeing. But to me, it just looked like that they were very comfortable.
We're also playing where we have nothing to lose at this point. We're doing so well. We have a cushion in terms of our lead in the Eastern Conference and the supporter shield. So you can go out and you can play a little freer, I think. There's not as much pressure on the players.
You've complimented the fans that have shown up, increasingly every time. The players, do the players notice it? I mean, there's over 24,000 fans at the last home game.
They do. And even in a big stadium like Gillette, the crowds we get when they're enthusiastic, it really makes a difference in the game. And the last game was the the best crowd I've seen since I've been here. So that's real encouraging, and hopefully that can continue and help us make a push for the MLS Cup once we get into the playoffs.
Amen. Bruce, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Right.
Bruce Arena with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We're going to hear Tom Brady speaking live from the podium in Tampa Bay. That'll be coming up right after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.